Day Him on October 10th, 2018. Everyone is present. We have Christina Gomez is present, as well as Heather Bader, Executive Director, and our AG this morning with us. You're a parent. I'm speaking to you outside and I'm like drawing the blank. Okay, so does anyone have any conflicts of interest due to close? So we'll go ahead and move on to our board meeting minutes. We'll start with the general session meeting minutes, the 13th. I didn't see any issues. Did anybody have any issues with those meetings?
Madam Chair, just to clarify, board staff did have a conversation with Mr. Harris, and no substantive changes were made, but we did change some times and some statute citations. Those are not reflected in the minutes that you have, but those are the ones that will be posted if they're approved.
So what are those that are just, you said just time changes?
Mm-hmm. Times that we went into and out of executive
session. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So those.
Yes. And then some of the statutes regarding the reason why we went into executive session were changed. To be correct.
So then sounds like if no one else has any issues with any content to the minutes, then I will move to approve the general session minutes of March 13th, 2015.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. And I know Dr. Leonetti was not present.
I will abstain.
Still not able to get into my computer here. We'll go ahead and move on then to the executive session minutes from that same date. I did have a question. It's on page 15 of our packet, the third paragraph. It looks like it's just a brief. It was not the executive session involving, was involved with Dr. Farrell's case, but not the employment issue or employment discussion. It looked like it was a repeat of it.
I think those were one of the changes.
If that was one of the changes maybe you found? That was the only thing I saw, because I thought content was fine. Do you see that on there? On page 15.
This?
Yes. And you see it goes on to here.
Okay.
So that was, it was just, sure. So see here, where it describes the executive session, when we went back in for employment, But and if you go back to when we did have that first, and that's what it was for the issue with, was the first executive session was with the employment.
Right.
And then the second one was with Dr. Farrell. So that paragraph just needs to be.
Okay.
That's all.
Is that what we had corrected?
Mm-mm, not that. Yeah, we corrected the time, but not.
So, with making that correction, I I don't think there's any other content issue with those minutes. I didn't see any. So I will move to accept the executive session minutes from June 2019.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
Opposed, so moved. Okay, so. Going down here. Now we have our discussion considering the issuances of licenses. We have four applications here from our office for Dr. Kyle Ruthy, Stephen Goldman, Brian DiPaolo, and John McGann. So I see on Dr. Durfee's, it's Your heading is by comedy, but he wouldn't be comedy. He
Correct.
Would be an initial application.
Mm-hmm.
But my here is everything is in place, but his residency has not been completed and won't be completed until June 30th. I know Dr. Dancho presented him with a certificate that was signed, but it's not completed. And our state statute states, in order to have a license, you have to successfully complete your residence.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he give him a certificate before he's finished?
And I asked I asked Christina to contact Dr. And his response was,
so unusual.
I know. And
I mean, generally, he's giving a letter stating that he's
going to be finishing.
Yes, it. Yes, he's expected to finish in June would be acceptable.
It's edgy.
Yes, uncomfortable.
So, Madam Chair, I do have the email from Jim Doncho. Mm-hmm. It's dated March 30th. I can read it.
Please, do.
So his response was, once my residents have completed all the requirements for graduation, I have no problem giving them a copy, and put copy in quotes, of their certificate of residency because of some states, especially Arizona, will not accept a letter of certification of graduation from residency. I've done this to a number of years without any questions from numerous state boards of licensing. If you have any further questions, please contact me directly. I did see the message, and that was pretty much it. So that was this.
So my question for Dr. Dancho is, if Dr. Durfee has completed everything that his requirements for the residency program, then I would understand why he would give him the certificate. So maybe he's completed all his rotations and done. It just seems like an awkward thing, but he's doing it because he doesn't want him to miss an exam date or a timeline. But really, you know, I think the board's issue is to make sure that he's completed his residency, and according to this, Dr. Dancho, he's completed his residency, so I think he meets the requirements, even though it's a little bit awkward how he postdated the certificate. It is what it is. Dr. Dancho said he completed his requirements, and he's given him a certificate, and that is what it is. That's all we need.
Well, if in fact he has completed all of the requirements for his residency, do you think it would be appropriate to go back to him and ask that he modify the certificate to reflect that it was completed rather than, because this certificate certainly makes it appear that there's, that it's still ongoing. Mm-hmm. So is it possible to obtain a date that is different than the June 30th? On the certificate?
I suppose we could ask Dr. Dancho to provide us with a letter saying that Dr. Durfee has completed all the requirements of his residency and it's completed as of whatever, March 31st, 2019,
something in the file to reflect that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because, you know, we've had people in the same situation before that we did not give licenses to because they hadn't completed their permit.
Yeah, I would make a recommendation that we contact Dr. Dancho, ask him if Dr. Durfee has completed all the requirements of his residency. If he did, give us a date when that was completed, and then we'll put that in the file. And if that's the case, then I would say, yeah, I would recommend it.
And Madam Chair, Dr. Durfee is present. Do you have questions for him?
Oh.
He did.
Oh, okay.
He did complete a request to speak for him, so.
You want to come on up?
Thanks for letting me.
Yeah. So, I mean, you heard what we're trying to do, and we have some specific rules that we have to kind of guide ourselves by.
Sure.
What we're going to ask for is for Dr. Dancho, and you can answer this question right now, is if you've completed all the basic requirements that you need for your PSR 36, if Dr. Dancho could supply us with a date that those were completed by so that we can have that in our records, because right now it looks like we're approving you, but we haven't completed your residency until June 30th, so.
Yeah. I don't see a problem with Dr. Dancho sending a letter to that.
Have you completed all your rotations?
Did all the rotations, have done all the surgical requirements, have done all the numbers, everything that's been required at this point. Obviously, there's the date of 36 months, and so that's why it's on there as such. But, all the requirements for residency have been fulfilled.
So what will you be doing with the last 3 months of your program?
So currently I'm still on surgical rotations, but because I've already done all the requirements for surgical cases and numbers and everything, I'll just be doing surgical cases.
Okay. In lieu of this testimony, do you think it's still, we should probably still get it on file.
Yeah, because if we get audited, it'll show.
So you understand what we're going to do is we're going to request Dr. Dancho to send us a letter stating that you completed all your requirements and the date that was completed.
Mm-hmm.
That's, therefore, we have it in our records. Any questions?
So if he were to fill out that letter to you and send it to the board, would that allow me to get the license by the end of the month, I think?
And we'd have to vote on it at the next meeting, correct?
You will. I do think you could probably vote to approve the application pending confirmation from Dr.
Dancho,
that in fact Dr. Durfee has completed all the requirements for the residency. But absent that, you know, confirmation, then I think it would come back to the board next month to take whatever action is appropriate. Does that make?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So what we may want to do is just take one separately from 2, 3, and 4.
We have the same issue on the other.
Oh, okay.
Gatto and I are in the same residency program and run into the same issue. The issue with it is we're trying to open up the practice in Arizona. And in order to be able to start that process and to begin, you know, with our hospital privileging and all that post-residency, we're requesting to get that license now or that license number to begin that process. And so,
do you know the date approximately when you completed all the
Before the beginning of this year, so I can get him to look back on his files, but I believe it was probably within December of last year.
Yeah, because I mean, ideally it would be great if you would just reissue the certificate with the with the corrected date.
Mm. Dr. Durfee raised the point. It's about 36 months. So if you did it with December of 2018, it would not be a 36, it would be a 30. So he has to keep it a PSR 36. This is a quagmire.
But the board went along with it.
Your best interest to change the certificate in December of 2018. You did a 36. You should do it. You should get credit for a 36.
But then you're suffering in your D4.
Kind of a. That's more important than getting your license a couple months early.
I understand.
That's separate, though, than the board's requirement. That 36 months.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. The board requirement is just that they completed a residency program. But everything in the process in our profession to get board certified in hospital privileges requires a PSR 36. So if he does a PSR 30, he would just create a mountain of problems for him down the road.
And that explains the dates then.
Yes.
The other issue with it is I can actually go and get a license from the state of Florida, the state of Utah, and many other states in the country before residency ever begins. And so Arizona is one of those states that we are unable to get a license until after residency, where all these other states I can apply and get them immediately. And I know that, you know, with some of the changes recently, if you have a license in one state, you can come to Arizona and begin working immediately. And so to hold out for residency just because the state of Arizona has it doesn't quite make sense to us while we can get a license in another state.
Well, unfortunately for Arizona, this is part of our statutes, and we can't change that without changing the statutes, which requires
legislative change,
which can be a difficult and lengthy process.
And I understand.
Which isn't going to help you.
No.
But
I do know that, you know, Governor Ducey just recently got that on his desk last week, saying that if you receive a license from any other state, you can come to the state of Arizona and begin working, and it was directed directly to health care professionals.
Yeah.
Did the governor sign that yet?
It was on his desk as of April 4th. So, I mean, in that case, what I would pretty much end up doing is just going and getting a license in Utah within the next 30 days or so, because their requirements do not need a 36-month residency program.
Well, we don't require a 36 either. We just require completion of your residency, whether it's a 12-month or a 24 or a 36.
Which now is all 3 years.
Yeah.
But many of those state boards and other states don't have that requirement at all, because most of my colleagues currently work in residency with a license. I went to school in Miami, Florida, and so most of them actually have to have their state license before they can begin their residency.
Yeah, there are certain states like that. I know Illinois had that too.
Yeah.
But Arizona's never had that. I mean, I think I had my license when I was a resident, but we had provisional licenses back then.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we had provisional licenses.
And I guess what we're really asking for is not necessarily to have the license in hand, but purely the license number to begin the process. And I don't know if that makes it even more complicated than what we're currently doing. But ultimately, we're trying to work in the state of Arizona.
Right.
And for whatever reason, we're having a very difficult time. We're working with a hospital system. The bank lenders will not give us anything until we have a license number. No one will do anything for us until we get a license number. And so we want to get an Arizona license number. That's why we've paid all the fees and come today before the board.
If you're going to practice here.
Right. And so it kind of seems a silly way or a roundabout way to go get a license from Florida and then come back and present it to the board just to pay extra money, if that makes sense.
Mark, do you think if we get the letter from Dr. Dancho with the date of completion that we can let them go ahead and sit for the license exam?
And everything else has been complied with? And the only question is satisfactory completion of the residency, and if the residency director is attesting that they have successfully completed it, I think that would give you the missing piece, because right now the information that we have suggests that it won't be completed until June, the end of June.
Mark?
Can we offer a provisional license?
We don't have them.
Based upon the
We don't have those anymore in our statutes, unfortunately.
Okay, because the statute's pretty clear. So with completion of residency and...
Yeah, I would think that, you know, I can't foresee any reason why you wouldn't go ahead and complete the next 3 months of your program, that with a letter from Dr. Dancho that we can go ahead and let these two doctors move on the process of getting their license here. They're going to practice anyway. I mean, they're going to get a license here. They're going to practice. They've completed their 36s. As far as the requirements, they're just waiting for the time. Their director's already given them a signed certificate, so technically, you really don't have to finish. You could take a vacation for the next 3 months. You've got this. I mean...
Do we have any medical legal issue that we need to face in
Well, that's why we want to make sure that we have in our files evidence that these applicants meet all of the minimum requirements, and that's what we're currently missing, because the certificate that is presented suggests that it's an event to, you know, to still occur, and that's where we need the documentation showing that it's been completed prior to the issuance of the license.
And I have no problem getting that letter from Dr. Dancho. And again, we have no intentions of practicing until July or August of this year for many reasons. I mean, even if we got the license number today and began the process, we couldn't be on insurance panels by June 30th. So, I mean, we have no intentions of seeing patients until after that date. It's purely just a matter of the process. I'm trying to get that, but we can definitely provide the board with a written letter from Dr. Dancho, our residency director, who can attest for that.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This has been an ongoing problem for several doctors. I've been with the board for about a year and four months, and this issue has come up often.
Right.
Once that test was taken away, it pretty much opened up the doors to applying before residency was finished. And so that's why we presented our applications before.
Yeah, we had this issue with the fellowship down at the, in Tucson.
LIMSAL.
With the SALSA program, where they needed a license to get the fellowship, but the fellowship was appointed for testing. So I would say I'm okay with the letter from Dr. Dancho. We can vote. We do receive that, that we allow these two doctors to move forward in the licensing process.
And does that mean then they're allowed to test, or have they tested?
We don't test.
There's no testing.
Oh. What about the national board?
Those are all done.
Those are all done.
Had their PM. They've had parts 1, 2, and I believe if you're in the class that was exempt from the clinical skills patient encounter exam because there were some issues with testing, and it was redone, or it was started up again in for a class of 2017. So Dr. Murphy is exempt from that. Did you have any with your discussion with insurance companies, or
the lenders,
office space
yeah.
lenders, what have you? Did they request, say, you know, if we got a letter from the board or that saying this is the license, did they? We just want a number.
So with the lender, with the hospital, with the insurance panels, all of them have come back and said that they would not be able to give us anything, especially the bank, unless they can look up on the license website and see a license number to prove that we're actual doctors. And when we talked to the credentialing person through the hospital that we were working with, they couldn't understand why we didn't have a current license, and it just didn't make sense because they had been doing all the credentialing for other specialties, but because podiatry doesn't give it in the state of Arizona, they were very confused. And so we've kind of gone in circles with everybody, and everything is pending just the simple license number to show that we are going to be actual licensed physicians in the state of Arizona. So we're kind of at a standstill with lenders, hospital, insurance panels, I mean, everybody.
Well, the statute states that the board shall issue the license, assuming everything is satisfied, including successful completion of a residency program. And the only requirement prefacing that is satisfactory proof. And if we can obtain something that indicates that these two applicants have successfully completed the residency program and you believe that it constitutes sufficient proof, then I think we can check that box.
Okay. I agree.
So, anybody have any other comments or things? So then I will make a motion to accept or approve Dr. Wilson's application pending receipt. A letter from Dr. Bancho indicating that the doctor has successfully completed all requirements pertaining to his residency program.
Can we add Dr. Hayapo to that motion as well?
Or do we need to do that as separate?
If we could take separate.
Okay.
Any other discussion regarding the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Aye. Were you opposed, Mark?
I said aye.
You said
no.
Okay. Any opposing? Okay. So then that we will then bring that back to board next month with the letter from Dr. Bancho.
Is that something that you...
Can we just let Heather go ahead and she receives that?
I think as long as you're comfortable with it and that the letter contains the representations that indicate that the residency program has been completed, and that way staff can then process the application. If you'd prefer to see that letter, though, it's certainly within your discretion to bring it back.
And then another question, I know that indicated that they are, you know, opening until like July or August. Do you have any kind of documents indicating that?
I don't believe so. Yeah. And I think one of the things that, if you would prefer, Madam Chair, that once Heather receives the letter, she can present it to you, and if you're comfortable with it, you know, then go ahead and process it.
Sounds fun.
Okay. Is that?
Yeah, that works by
me. Yep, works for me. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if there are any issues with the letter, it'll come back to the board for their full review at your May meeting.
So why don't we then skip second applicant and then the doctor. How does he pronounce his last name?
Hiapo. No one gets it right.
Same issue here. So, do we need to discuss this? So, I will make a motion then also to approve Dr. Hiapo's application pending receipt of a letter from Dr. Bancho indicating that all requirements have been met during this surgical residency program. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposing? Okay. Motion has passed.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good. Where are you going to practice?
In Phoenix.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Southwest standards. Excited.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Very good. Good luck.
Okay. So, Dr. Stephen Goldman is our next, and he is via comedy.
What was the issue in Florida? Was that just...
They said he didn't notify them of his address. And he said he never got in the mail. I guess it came, you know, the snail mail didn't appear. And so he ended up having a consent agreement that he paid his fine and surrendered, voluntary surrender of life. And he said he was going to lapse away. That's the best thing I can do. Paid and all that. So, and then he had that on his file.
So is he now the director of the VA?
I thought Dr. From the college, that when he retired, that he went back over there.
Interim director of the VA.
Oh, okay.
So regardless, license looks like it's in order.
Yeah, I believe
so. Application.
Yeah. So I would to accept the application for licensure for Dr. Stephen Goldman pending that payment of license fee.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So moved. All right. Then we have Dr. John McGann. Now, his licensing fee was waived. Is that because did he fill out a
his federal tax information, and he did not, he met the 200% poverty guideline.
Now, he's still in residency at the VA with Dr. Cohn. Okay, Carl. Oh, says he's. Yeah, he will complete his residency on, it says June 29th this year.
Same thing.
Here we are again. Yeah.
So this is going to be an ongoing topic for many.
Madam Chair.
Do the same thing for him that we did for the other two doctors, but there might be a bigger picture here about this. Statutes, but everyone's going to be doing PSR 36s now.
Okay.
So, I mean, could say after they complete that.
Because, again, no, at the VA, too, who knows if they've had everything done.
Right.
Maybe a different, totally different experience going on up here at the VA.
Yes.
And so we would, finding out. Because he didn't present any kind of, did he present a certificate or a letter here from Dr. Page or anybody?
No,
yes, here, on page, if you look, page 163 of our file. And it gives a list of the PGY3 residents that are expected to complete June 30th. So if they haven't completed, he can't get one.
Right.
Unless Dr. Page says he's completed all requirements. As we're asking of Dr. Danson.
And in the other cases, they already have their certificate. I mean, he's already signed it and given it to him. So basically, he's technically finished. They both are.
Yes.
I think we have to ask Dr. Page the same thing. If Dr. McCann has completed it, if he did, what date?
Right.
If no, it's expected, then he can't.
Right.
He can't sit for the license or can't be issued a license till it's completed.
Exactly. So I think we would direct Heather. Contact Dr. Page and ask him those questions, ask him, and then bring it, table his application till next month.
Frankie has always said that a successful completion of residency is that actual date that's listed on the certificate. So if it's June 30th of 2019, completion date, that's what she told me. Because, I've dealt with this issue. I've received a number of phone calls, people upset because they want to start their insurance process and can't until they have that license number. However, just speaking to Frankie, she advised me that whatever that successful
action date is listed on the certificate. That's what we have to go with.
I would say I agree unless we have something else in writing that the board can kind of protect itself with, like Mr. Harris recommended, that we have a letter from the residency director stating the successful completion occurred on March 31st. Barring that, I would say we have to go by the date on the certificate. So what Dr. Page gave us here today leads me to believe that they're not done till June 30th, and we can't go forward with their license until that day, unless he comes back with something.
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and then the big picture is we have to figure out a solution to this. Whether we just, yeah, if we go by the letter of the law, these people can't apply till June. Till July. So it's not. Pretty nice to stay, but. Yeah.
So I will. I think we should just table his application.
And request a letter
from Dr. Page. Yeah, from Dr. Page, you're talking about, you know.
If it's completed, if it was completed, what's the date?
With the direction.
Dr. Dancho.
And again, if we can just have written confirmation.
Yes.
For the file.
Yep.
You know, I know, and with the governor's, you know, all the things he's wanting to do to decrease the red tape or whatever and restrictions to be able to work, I'm sure that.
How does that supersede the statutes, Mark, when you would assign a bill like that?
Yeah, well, what it will provide is another pathway to licensure. It won't necessarily supersede, it'll just provide another path. And if they don't qualify under that path, they still have, you know, the pathway that's set forth in our statutes and regulations.
So
I don't know any other states that do that.
So in those bills that you sent that we're going to be discussing, there wasn't there something in there about a provisional? So if he signed that, then if we gave people like this and the two doctors from program in Tucson, if they had a provisional license that they were given, then on that actual date on the certificate, would it then become an active license, or does that have to go through?
We'd have to, you know, take a look at the conditions set forth with the provisional license, because a provisional license is by its nature, you know, temporary. And we would either issue the license once all the other terms have been met, or they would need to cease practice under the provisional license if it expires.
We'll be seeing that, I guess, coming around the bend.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I haven't been trying to.
And certainly one of the things that we'll do is probably in August or September provide a legislative summary of all the bills that have passed and let you know how it impacts the board's, you know, ability to not only, you know, review applications but to issue licenses and take action.
Anybody have any comments on this topic? So, moving on to B, we have a request for continuing education by Dr. Dukuki on the program in Tucson.
Accept request for 1 hour CME.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So moved. All righty. Okay, so now we have the next is 6, which we have a renewal for licensure and dispensing registration from Dr. Amanda Lenore.
Good
not sure.
Is it just a request, or is there any...
There was no paperwork.
Paperwork that goes with it?
There is no paperwork, because in the past, last year, I never submitted any paperwork for a license.
Okay.
Oh, because they went through Eli's, because she goes through her... So,
I was also told today for them looking at all the paper applications that were coming for...
So she's just asking for renewal of dispensing, or the whole application and dispensing? Okay, all right. Nothing's changed, no practice cases or anything? Then I would move to accept her reapplication.
Do we have to...
Second.
Do we have to vote for that separate, because the licenses are separated?
No, we've combined them in the past.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just trying to read.
Yep.
Okay.
So I will second that motion. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved?
Aye.
All righty. So, this was, our next topic is number 7. This was brought up by Dr. Foreman, just wanting to discuss proposing modifications to our CME requirements being able to be all done online, correct, Dr. Foreman?
That's correct.
So this has to would have to modify our 425-502. So, what's everybody's thoughts here?
So, is this a request that all 25 hours be acceptable online?
Yeah, many states already have this, and so from California on. So, what I think is, we're probably going to need to change the statute with the licensure with residents coming out. This is one of the things I think we can be proactive with, and have them complete the CMEs online.
So let me just clarify this. So you're saying they can take courses online for CMEs, not just submit the hours online.
Right, you can, present podiatry has a lot of different courses that you can take also.
Okay, all right, so I understand what you're saying. So basically, if this passes, you would not have to go to a state association meeting. You could go online and do some of these different meetings, correct?
That's correct.
Because right now, we only allow 10 of those hours to be online, of the 25.
So... my thoughts, number one, the state association is not going to be happy with this, because they want members in their seats at these meetings so that they can generate some funds to keep the association going, number one. Number two, we'll have to be very strict in scrutinizing these CME programs online, because the quality of the programs varies greatly. So I have no problem with this, but it's going to be a bigger undertaking for this board to have to go through every CME that someone submits online for the board to approve that.
Let's table this until next month, and I'm going to do some research for what other states are doing, how they're working with the online credits.
Because this is just kind of an initial discussion anyway.
Yeah. And I agree, it's a time has come. I mean, there's so much stuff you can do online. There's so many programs and podcasts and things that are really quality. But you just got to be sure that people are actually doing it and not just saying they're doing it.
Because I think, too, another issue would come if we had somebody, you know, on probation under a consent agreement. So
right.
Many of their stuff has to be live. I mean, particularly if we're trying, you know, if there's, you know, something with surgical training and things that have to be done, that's not going to go online. I mean, I would never let that go online for some.
No, but don't we in that agreement, we tell them it has to be a seminar.
Yeah.
We don't say online.
Yeah, we'd have to specify.
So as long as clarify.
No, I agree. So we'll table this until next month.
So you're going to put together some information from the other states?
From other states, yeah. That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Mark, have a good trip.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye. Have a good meeting. Okay. Bye.
All righty.
So, also have our next is number 8, review discussion, possible action on the board's license renewal process for new applicants during the months between January and June. Because of the some need up discussion about are these going to be prorated, because some people, the way they apply, they've got almost 18 months on a licensure, while somebody else might have 6 months. And Frankie said that, or that she had some, there were some options on that, and I know Heather sent us a follow-up attachment or to our on our emails yesterday that shows that those options.
Yeah, there are some other boards that
prorate it.
Which makes sense. I mean, somebody should know, everybody ought to be paying the same amount for their license for a year's time.
The dental board? That's what they're doing? Yeah? Okay.
So how do they work that, Christine? Do you know much about it yet?
I don't know all of the details, but they do have it in statute where they are allowed to prorate the licenses for dentists and hygienists.
And you're old board too, right? Mm-hmm. Heather?
Yeah. Okay. So, and Madam Chair, board members, when I worked at the psychology board, basically it was a set amount, which I gave that what the set amount would be for this board in my memo, that each licensee or applicant paid every month to be licensed. So you just calculate it from the month that they actually paid their issuance fee.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it may not be the date that the board approved them, it would be the date that, you know, they paid the issuance fee and received their license number, and then you just calculate the number of months that they'd be licensed and multiply it by that fee, basically.
So just I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Just a question. Did anyone complain about this?
No.
Okay. Because I didn't even think about this. I never even thought about this.
Somehow we were talking about it one day. You know, so the big question is, can that be, how do they pay them? Can they do it on e-licensing with a chain? Probably not the question to ask, but I thought it would be.
And if they pay the full license fee, why wouldn't they be able to get an annual from there and, like, stagger the when your licenses are paid for? You understand what I'm saying?
No, because our license, we run between, yeah, the statute shows the
July.
I understand that, but they'd have to change that to stagger it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that would be,
And that's, the boards that don't have prorated probably have statutes that say you renew 12 months on, from the date of issuance and have staggered renewals as opposed to everybody renewing at the same time.
Okay. That might be easy on the executive director, too.
Well, if we do that, then you're processing applications all year long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's easier. Christine can probably tell you that. Or doing it all at once. Get it over with.
Okay. And I think it would require statute change in order to do that. And I can tell you that when I worked at the psychology board, whenever I first started there, they were on a biennial renewal, so all the licensees had to renew at one time. And during the time I was there, they switched to staggering, and it was a very long, big project, but it's doable. Definitely doable.
Was their license every 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of states for podiatry do it every 2 years as well. Yeah, I like that better. But another statute change. Mm-hmm. Are you writing these down? We have a whole list to do.
I know our ROC was every 2 years.
Yeah.
But then, too, when you do that, then you have to say 50 hours of continuing. You have to change all kinds of things.
I know in Illinois they changed their rule to change their amputation law, and it requires them to get 50 CMEs a year. So now they're biannually, so it's 100 CMEs. So that's the price they paid to get amputations. So I don't think our numbers want that. But if we can get 25 online. All right.
So, So we need to initiate this somehow. For proration of...
Yeah. I mean, it just makes common sense.
Yeah. We don't have to, we can just...
Well, I think the first...
Best way to do it, Mark.
If you're talking, and if you're talking about prorating, then I think that just simply would require a rule. And the first step in moving forward with rulemaking is getting permission from the governor's office because of the moratorium. So we would just need to reach out to the governor's office first to get permission to go forward, and then it would be just going through the rulemaking process. And even though it seems like a fairly straightforward and, you know, rule, and that everybody would be behind it because it's to the benefit,
right,
you know, financially of the applicants, it still does take some time. We're probably looking at maybe by the end of the year or, you know, soon into 2020 before it's memorialized, I think, realistically. But we would, I think, just need a motion to move forward with the rulemaking process, which begins with seeking waiver from the governor's office to move forward from the moratorium.
Well, no, I was at the rulemaking meeting on the 26th, and they voted to accept our
5-year,
so they know that we are working on them.
Good. Yeah.
They're supposed to vote April 2nd. Did you hear?
And they voted, and I haven't heard back from them, and I'm sorry, I should have written back to the attorney. It's the director of this office now. But from what I was informed, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. And if there's, you know, of course, if there's other rules, you know, you can certainly add this to that list of changes.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this isn't on the agenda, so I don't know if we can talk about it, but something to think about would also be prorating continuing education, because it runs concurrently with the cycle now. So technically somebody, and it works the same, technically somebody who's licensed within that time frame doesn't have to have continuing education until July 1st.
Doesn't our statute say, there's a statute that tells how many hours they, it's like 12 or less. It's in rules.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's in rules.
Maybe I
thought the board had some leeway with that.
We do.
Because for some reason they couldn't complete the full 25 if they submitted a letter. Yeah.
Or like health reasons, if they were in the service, there's...
I saw that there was a waiver, is what I read.
Well, that's certainly something that we can, you know, look into, and if it appears that it can be clarified, we can certainly bring that back before you.
So then I would make a motion to have the executive director file a waiver request to the governor's office regarding rule changes. Do we need to be specific?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Madam Chair.
Specific to the issue of license fee proration as well as CME? Can we say that even though it wasn't? No, because it wasn't on the
agenda. Yeah, sorry.
So in regards to license fee proration, just put it on next month.
Yeah. And I'll wait till after.
Okay, so I believe that's sufficient as far as the motion. Anybody else have anything you want to add to it?
No, nope, I second.
Second, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay.
And I was just going to add, I'm not sure what the rules report indicated and if there were recommendations.
They didn't ask any questions or say anything at the meeting.
So they're not recommending any changes to the rules or anything? Oh, okay. I didn't know, because this would be a good time to make sure that we ask just one package, because it's challenging enough.
Mm-hmm. I was prepared to talk, but I wouldn't know.
Well, that's great news.
And Madam Chair, board members, I can talk with Frankie, and we can look at the rules, and if there's any others besides the CME, we can bring it back next month.
Madam Chair?
Oh, yes.
In the meantime, what is going to be the expiration date for the licensee who was approved? Dr.
Yes, yes.
So will his expiration date be 2020? If you don't have the prorate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so any issues with that topic? Okay, so the executive director's report.
I don't really have one. I gave the legislative memo. I don't know if you have any questions on the budget or the complaint log. And if you have any questions on the legislative memo, you can let me know. I know you had asked about, I believe it was SB 1086, that it addresses temporary licenses. It's at the House, so it hasn't been transmitted to the governor yet. And I know soon the legislature is going to switch focus and start looking at budget-related bills. So some of these bills, I'm wondering if they'll even continue to move through the process. The one bill that I know is being watched, it's the one that we had discussed a little bit earlier regarding the reciprocity. That is on the governor's desk waiting to be looked at and signed. And it's anticipated that it will be signed.
And so that would supersede our statute.
I wouldn't use the word supersede. It's another pathway.
An alternative path. Okay.
Yes.
I have a question. What is the rest of the complaint log?
It's on the wallpaper. It's wallpaper.
Oh, okay. Yes. I've never seen 7 complaints. I've seen 77, but I've never seen 7 before. That's amazing.
I think that at one point, when he started, there was 130.
I believe it. Well, he took over a hurricane, unfortunately. But, so, this is really good. Board's done a fantastic job.
Oh, and regarding the complaint log, there is one complaint that was received that's not on the log. I had sent the log before I found the complaint. It was submitted online. Mm-hmm. And it was submitted, I don't remember the exact date, but it was mid-January. And I did talk with Frankie about timelines, and there is no specific time frame in which we have to notice a licensee. So I opened the complaint. It's been sent. So I'm just waiting for a response.
Okay.
So, and that will be on next month's complaint log for you.
I apologize, but it was an e-license.
Mm-hmm. And the system isn't easy to navigate.
Oh, okay. So.
It was submitted online, yeah.
What was, you spent some information about that. Is there some kind of task force committee that's working, doing something now with e-licensing?
So supposedly they fixed something on e-licensing, and it's supposed to solve most of the problems around the system. So everybody's still crossing their fingers.
You believe that. Solves one, causes another.
Mm-hmm.
With my own EMR system.
Mm-hmm. And there is talk about bringing other boards on. And any time a new agency is brought on, there's a period in which all agencies have to test to make sure that everything's going to work properly. And if you don't have the time to test, then if it doesn't work properly, they basically don't address it. And it seems at any time a new agency is brought on, there are issues. It does affect other agencies. And I think the only other item was regarding the renewals. Those are coming up, and we're going to be sending out postcards within the next couple of weeks, and we're going to let all of our licensees know that they can renew through the e-licensing system, or they can download the form, the paper form from our website, and continue to mail that in.
Yep. Yeah, certainly like that.
So how many current licensees do we have now? I have to give a little report at the state association meeting this week.
People who have actually paid, $459.
Oh. Really? Number 325.
I'm 292.
So that's 30 years ago. Wow. I thought we had a lot more than that. Wow. And how many of those are out of state? You probably don't know.
Yeah. Right. We are receiving more people who are trying to apply from different states.
Right, right. Okay.
Oh, can I ask Mark? Has Frankie said anything more about Dr. Wester? If he's been, they've done...
Oh, yeah, with his case?
With his case. They were supposed to, I think he was going to be sentenced. Was it this month?
I don't have an update, and I don't know if she's provided staff, but I can certainly talk to Frankie and make sure that we put it on the agenda for May for an update.
Okay. And Heather, did we get monthly? The month has just started, but did we get any correspondence from the doctors, Peterson or Heyman, about, you know, or Farrell, no surgeries or anything with their...
I received, and I was going to bring it to the board next month.
Dr. Heyman?
So I just received it yesterday, I believe. Yes, from Dr. Heyman. He sent me an email just letting... The board, well, he wanted to let the board know that he has not performed any osteotomies.
Osteotomies?
Is that okay?
Osteotomies.
Sorry. And I was planning on bringing this forward to the board next month.
Okay.
And I believe Dr. Peterson is in the process of going back to work.
Okay. Because I thought, yeah, last night I thought he was like in the middle of the month or something.
Okay, so
anything else?
One line, sorry. And with Dr. Farrell, Frankie was going to contact Dr. Cohn, but it was unclear of what exactly he has to review. So Frankie told me yesterday that she would go ahead and contact Dr. Cohn so that he can send out his list of patients.
Oh, okay.
Looking on that audit.
Right. And so did Frankie and Ms. Gingrich come up with a solution? Because things, you know, we had changed the...
Right. So what ended up happening was that Ms. Gingrich just sent Dr. Farrell's patient list.
Oh, okay. So then we can move on to summary of current events. So we anyone here that we anybody hear us?
No.
Is that part of the we already did that's the legislative update? Or that was back in the report. Okay. Alrighty. And we don't have a public to call to, they have retreated. And future action or future agenda items, I would put the CME proration on that. Anybody have anything else? Maybe if we have time, depending on if we have the cases to do, should we try to discuss how we're going to, you know, deal with, you know, the issues of the licensing and the finishing of residency, coming up with some kinds of ideas to how we're going to work with that issue going forth.
Yeah. Question. I mean, we can talk to some other boards and see how they do it.
I'm going to Federation meeting in Dallas on the 25th. I will ask.
with the other people that are here. Because we have the, then we have, you know, we have the video conferencing of the different boards.
And I think we've already discussed that that would require statute change, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And so my thought is, with the sunset audit coming up, and this is something I was going to bring again to a future meeting, going through the audit, I know that one of the recommendations will probably be background checks, and currently the board does not require it, so it might be something we want to discuss at some point too in the future.
They do that at the nursing board, don't they? And fingerprinting and all that.
Yes, and I want to say, was it the psych board that just had theirs?
Yes.
And that was a finding in their report, because they also don't have the statutory authority to do background checks. And that was something that the auditor is recommending that they seek legislative authority for, if I recall correctly. So that's, yeah, that's good being proactive on that.
So if the board is...
Checks prior to licensing?
Yeah. Basically, you would submit a set of fingerprints, and we do a criminal background check based upon those. And it's really just an opportunity to verify everything that is set forth in the application.
Does it seem like there's this strange kind of dichotomy going on where the governor's trying to make it so easy to get your license, and yet we're doing all these things to kind of make it another hurdle to get your license? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where do we kind of meet in the middle and say enough is enough? Or
so I just wanted to bring it to the board's attention. It might be something that it wants to discuss at some point.
They do fingerprints and DNA and everything. Well, literally. The doctors. I mean, that's something new. The DNA, it's something new.
And a lot of... doctors who work at a hospital may already be required to have their fingerprint card. So for those doctors, it wouldn't be a hurdle. You know.
All right.
Any other items? Anybody else wants to put on? And did anybody have any questions on the budget? I'm sorry, I'm going back to...
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Alrighty, so our next meeting is April, or May the 8th.
I do have a point.
Okay.
We talked, I think, 2 months ago about changing the time frame for keeping records.
Mm-hmm.
That's a statute change as well, right?
That's
on the... Okay. So we can, I don't know if we need to discuss that again, or we just... But I think I'd like to see that reduced.
Can we just say, we just kind of... We didn't have much of a discussion of it. We can put that on next month.
Okay.
With the CME correlation.
So there are two possible statute changes. One of them is Dr. And then the second one also too was the one that the board discussed when Moran was here about merging the initial registration form with the new application. We tried to do that last session, but we hit a roadblock and addressed that as well.
That was the one we had Heather Carter was helping us with that one. And then with all the stuff that came down with the opioid stuff, we thought, hey.
Those are the other two on my list.
Yeah. Instead of having two separate things all the time.
Yeah.
Right, because that just feels kind of crazy. Okay, so our next meeting is May the 8th at 8:30, and at 9:44, I will move to adjourn. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
So moved. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. It's good seeing everybody.
Nice to see you, Mark.